20 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Once again, travel headaches for those flying. This time, it was an FAA computer glitch that grounded flights across the country. It's a system which lists potential adverse impacts on flights, and pilots are required to check it. It crashed overnight. Now that it's coming back online, there are some very relieved travelers out there. Jonathan O'Brien of WSB has more from Atlanta.
The sound of planes taking off again is probably music to the ears of travelers and airport workers here at Hartsfield-Jackson. The news of the nationwide ordered ground stop surprised some passengers.
And I didn't know until I got here.
Raymond tells me his flight to Cleveland is delayed an hour and 40 minutes. Gloria, a traveler from Knoxville, says her flight was not affected, but she was worried.
We just heard about what happened on the way to the airport, and we were like, oh no, let's just check our stuff and make sure we're not delayed going to Jamaica.
Jonathan O'Brien for CBS News, Atlanta.
Bad weather in California just won't let up. More storms are in the forecast after waves have caused flooding and rock slides. Governor Gavin Newsom.
Dries are getting a lot drier the last 3 years, and the wets are getting a lot wetter. This weather whiplash is that new reality.
And on climate change, there's worrisome news about our oceans. Here's correspondent Vicky Barker.
The world's oceans reached their hottest temperatures ever recorded in 2022. And that matters because our oceans absorb more than 90% of the excess heat trapped by greenhouse gas emissions. So their condition is considered a barometer for human-linked global warming. And since sea surface temperatures help drive extreme weather, these new readings suggest we're in for even more intense storms, floods, and hurricanes.
The Supreme Court will allow New York to continue enforcing a new gun law banning weapons from sensitive places while an appeals court weighs the case. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum tells us the new law was passed after the high court threw out the state's ban on carrying concealed weapons without a permit.
The Supreme Court invalidated New York's 100-year-old gun law. The court ruled, however, that some restrictions might still apply, like prohibiting guns in bars, subways, schools, and stadiums. It is that new law that is now being appealed and may make it to the Supreme Court.
The spring semester begins today at the University of Idaho, where four students were stabbed to death in their off-campus home back in November. Security's been increased for returning students. Dean of Students, Blaine Eichholz.
We've increased a relationship with the Latow County Sheriff's Office, so they're going to have a presence on campus. We've also hired additional campus security officers, and we're still in very close partnership with the Moscow Police Department.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials up 96 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. Are you ready to start a meaningful career? Now you can get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training. WiskCaregiver.com will connect you with employers all across Wisconsin. You choose the location where you'll earn while you learn to become a CNA and receive a $500 bonus. Get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training through WiskCaregiver.com. Get your free start in healthcare. Register today at WiskCaregiver.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Three new chaplains were sworn in for the Wood County Sheriff's Department and Dispatch Center. Pastor Tim Ritter, Pastor Stacy Remus, and Liz Goss. Veteran chaplain Pastor David Bratley accepted the role of lead chaplain and was also sworn in. Police chaplains provide emotional, moral, and spiritual support to officers, staff, and their families. The Wood County Sheriff's Department welcomes their three new chaplains and congratulates Pastor Bratley with his promotion. Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis was sworn in as Undersheriff of the Department for Sheriff Becker's next term. Undersheriff Ellis began his law enforcement career in Wood County in 1999 and has served in many capacities within the county. He was promoted to Chief Deputy in January of 2021. Ellis is a lifelong resident of Wood County and graduated from Lincoln High School. He's known affectionately within the department as Q, and his fellow officers congratulated him on his new leadership role. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 36. North winds around 5 miles per hour. 28 tonight, overcast. Cloudy again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 34. Partly cloudy skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 27. 31 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
On another.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Shoot us a text, give us a call. And today is, and I think the whole month is, National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Not the awareness part is important in that phrase because we're not celebrating just the act of it. We're trying to spread awareness of it. And so here to talk more about human trafficking and maybe debunk some myths and misconceptions and what the average person thinks of when they hear that term is Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, where she handles everything from providing support to victims and survivors of human trafficking, but then also that comes through the organization. And so welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So for people who are unfamiliar with the organization, mm-hmm. it's based in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And which might surprise some people because mm-hmm. I think often people think of this as something that happens other places and not how often it's happening right in our own backyard. So mm-hmm. just to kick off, tell me a little bit more about what the organization does.
Yeah. So Fight to End Exploitation, we've been around since 2013. We're based out of Racine, Wisconsin, but we handle mostly southeastern Wisconsin, but we also work with other organizations throughout the state. And our goals are prevention, intervention, and restoration. So however we can do that. Part of that is drawing awareness, which is what I'm doing right now with, you know, speaking and teaching people and getting the conversation on human trafficking in the forefront. And then we also assist law enforcement and other community leaders and organizations with, you know, victim and survivor support. So that can look a little bit different depending on a case-by-case basis. And then we also do whatever we can to help those victims, you know, become a survivor. And then ultimately our goal is to have them thrive and become a thriver.
And so with that, because I think, like I said, I think some people, when they think of human trafficking, they think of Taken.
Yes.
They think of people being kidnapped against their will and chained up to mm-hmm. a bedpost
yes.
and in a foreign country. Typically, yep. I think in movies, it's usually like Eastern Europe
yep.
Or Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, that is not the case. Well, I mean, certainly it can be the case, but
yes.
overwhelmingly why a group in Racine, Wisconsin exists is because it actually happens here.
Yep.
And so what are some of, in that, what are some of the myths or some of the stats that you can give as far as how prevalent it is right here?
Yeah, that is, that's a huge issue that we're dealing with, is just a lot of the misconceptions. And people think it's the watch out for the white vans. People are going to kidnap you. Every few months, there's a new rumor going around on social media, like watch out for zip ties on, you know, your car or flowers being placed somewhere. It's just, it's interesting how, you know, things evolve. And I feel, especially through the pandemic, when people are turning more online, that rumors have, you know, we had the Wayfair rumor that was a couple years ago where people were being kidnapped and trafficked through the Wayfair website. It's just, it's insane how, you know, rumors can just spread so fast. And then that does so much damage for the real victims and survivors, because the real, you know, victims and survivors aren't being seen, because people are, you know, worried about, you know, being kidnapped and this and that. And yes, those cases do happen, but they're very rare. Like Wisconsin, we have 72 counties in the state, and we have had human trafficking cases in all 72 counties. And that is the reality of it. And it's, you know, it's the hardest part about human trafficking right now with awareness is getting people to understand the realities of it. And as I talk through this, it's probably going to be, you know, it's a lot of information coming at everybody. So a lot of people, you know, are confused. And that's why we have a whole month. January is dedicated to, you know, Human Trafficking Prevention Month. And today is the actual Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And so I guess if you want to, I can get into a little bit of what
it is. I mean, we got a whole half hour here, so let's get into it.
Perfect. So so as the advocacy coordinator, I mostly work with victims of sex trafficking. And
because I think that's an important distinction, because human trafficking can be for more than just sex work. It's, it's also for labor in a lot of situations. Not a lot, but plenty of situations.
Definitely. And we do have labor trafficking in Wisconsin as well. It's just right now the majority of the victims that I work with are sex trafficking, just because, I mean, look at our economy right now. It's really hard for people to survive. And the people who are most vulnerable have become even more vulnerable during this pandemic. And because of that vulnerability that's out there, more traffickers are exploiting that. And we will get into a little bit of the laws, too. And this is evolving so much faster than the laws can evolve with it. And same with resources. The hardest part with our organization is, you know, finding support. And COVID, the pandemic, ruined a lot of, you know, support, because trying to find housing for people, trying to find, you know, job security, that's all, it's hard enough for, you know, a stable person right now to survive. And think of, you know, the people who, you know, once you kind of get left behind, it's really hard for them to, you know, come to the surface. And so that's what we're really focused on, is helping prevent those vulnerabilities and meeting whatever those needs for the victims that we support.
Because, and I think it's important to the distinction of what you were saying as far as vulnerable people, because it's often what I understand is people get in a situation where, and it's not unlike some of the stories you hear with like domestic abuse, where it's you're not chained up to a bedpost. You are emotionally, mentally, psychologically, how would I ever leave?
Exactly.
And so you can say more about that, of like what the tendencies are, why people can find themselves in these situations. And it's not because they're chained up that they can't leave. It's because of all of the, how would I survive without this?
Exactly. Yeah. The most common type for, you know, sex trafficking is to have a relationship with the, you know, the victim and the trafficker. And that, you know, we call it trauma bonding. And that kind of mirrors the domestic violence cycle, where, you know, if somebody was abused the first instance, you know, obviously people would leave, but it never really starts off that way. There's always that initial interaction. There's that grooming process, which is basically, you know, having a relationship with somebody. And those are often the most difficult cases to work with, just because a lot of the victims don't even see themselves as victims. They see, you know, their trafficker or exploiter is somebody they're in a relationship with, or they perceive to be in a relationship with, or it could be their own family members. Some family, you know, there's familial trafficking, which is a big part of trafficking that a lot of people don't realize and don't understand. Some people, it's just, you know, what they were born into. So you see a lot of victims, you know, they come from broken homes, or, you know, families with substance abuse. Maybe they're in and out of the foster care system, or, you know, there's drug issues in the family, or a lot of, you know, victims have been sexually assaulted and, you know, as kids. And that, you know, when you're exposed to that and you're, you know, you're dealing with that as you grow up, that's just a normal way of life. And that's the most heartbreaking thing, is to meet somebody who is young and they don't even recognize themselves as a victim, just because that's their livelihood and what they're, you know, come to be normal in their family. And it's really sad. And so you have the familial aspect of it. And then you'll have, you know, we call them Romeo pimps or Romeo traffickers.
Is this the same thing as like the lover boy thing that's now become known because of Andrew Tate?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's different, you know, phrases for that, but it's all the same concept, is, you know, it's not the violent, it's not being chained up, it's not the physical aspect of it. You know, that does happen in some cases, but a lot of it is just the emotional and mental component, or these people are meeting needs. You know, if you have somebody who is homeless or, you know, doesn't have a support structure, traffickers, they, you know, they prey upon that and they, you know, meet those needs. We've had victims where, you know, all it took is somebody who bought them a meal because they were hungry. Mm-hmm. And that is the gateway into that. And a lot of it is online as well. It's, you know, you don't always have to be concerned about, you know, your kids on the street, which obviously, yes, you should be, but you should be just as concerned, if not more, about who your child is talking to online, because, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all these apps, social media, it's like there's so many out there. And with how everything's evolving with virtual reality and everything, like, traffickers are, you know, in those same areas. And it's not, that's also another misconception too, is people think that this happens on the dark web. And yes, there is that component of that as well. But this is like the forward facing internet, to where we could all log on. And there are websites right now where I could pull up and I could, you know, show you how to order a victim. And it's heartbreaking. It really is.
We were just talking about in a segment past about governments wanting to ban TikTok for its, you know, because of the China influence. Mm-hmm. Are there, you know, this, if there's same things happening on, we were talking about the American companies, those same things happening here on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot, legislation, we're seeing like aggressive legislation being to regulate those companies, mm-hmm, to rectify those measures and help protect anybody who might be on those social media platforms. Are there aggressive measures as they're aggressively pursuing TikTok? Are they trying to work hard to make those spaces safer for people?
Yes, that is definitely a part of that too. And the hard part is just there's so many areas that we need to evolve in, and people are, you know, not talking about it like they should. They're focusing on the aspect of it that is the rare part of it, you know, being chained up or what have you. But yeah, social media, there are organizations out there, like the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They do great campaigns to help, you know, try to keep your children safe online. And there are a lot of other organizations doing that. But it's just, we kind of get buried with all the other, you know, issues. You know, every single day, you know, you log online or you read the news, and it's another crazy story, and there's a lot going on. And so when we have support, a lot of, like, we work a lot with law enforcement, and which is an amazing part of it, because we're not an investigative agency. We have to get referrals from law enforcement or other legitimate community partners. But sometimes, you know, when funding gets cut or whatever, you know, what are those sources that are getting cut? A lot of them are, you know, sources like this, where you think that, you know, we could be doing so much, and unfortunately we just don't have the resources out there. So it's such a very gray area. There's so many layers involved with it. It's not just human trafficking. It also, you know, is the drug epidemic and homelessness and job security and lack of education and resources. There's so much that intertwine. And until we start having those conversations to recognize human trafficking in those realms as well, I feel like we're going to keep, you know, go two steps forward, five steps back.
Yeah. We're talking to Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation. And one thing that doesn't feel like a gray area to me is the Safe Harbor Bill.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that and where it stands in the Wisconsin State Legislature when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
If you're an area employer, the next 30 seconds can be key to your growth and success. On-the-job training programs are available right now to assist with selection and cost of that new employee your business needs. Reimbursement for training costs, customized training plans to fit your needs, and continuous support when you need it. You hire, you train, we help pay. The first step is to contact us. Call the Wisconsin Rapids Job Center at 715-422-5000 and ask about on-the-job training programs for area employers. We'll help you build the workforce you need.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I want to.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, because it is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day and National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And Greg, you said you had asked a question at the break that I wanted to give you a chance to ask on air.
So when you see politicians and other people using the term trafficking to further an effort or a piece of legislation or whatever that takes away from the work you do or presents trafficking in a light that's like, you don't understand actually what trafficking is. How does that impede upon the work you do? And how do you work to clarify that message and make sure people actually know your mission?
Yes, that is another big issue that we're dealing with. And that also kind of ties into dispelling the myths and the rumors that are out there. Because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, people, when they talk about trafficking in the media and politicians, everybody is, you know, human trafficking. We have to rescue. We have to save. We have to do this or that. And they try to politicize it to where, you know, that obviously they want to you know, make an impact into to help. But By creating this fear that just, you know, keeps perpetuating the misconceptions, people don't know really what human trafficking is. And as organizations, we have to do so much more to work towards dispelling those myths. And a lot of that, especially the last couple of years, you know, there's been a lot of human trafficking in regards to QAnon and all of that, which we won't get into today, but that is, we've had so many reports. The National Human Trafficking Hotline has been flooded with calls about, you know, this or that, what they've heard online. And that really just does such a disservice to really helping those who are impacted by trafficking. And so I like to always, you know, you listen to the victims and survivors. They're the ones that are experts in their own sense, and they're the ones that can tell their own stories. And so it is really frustrating when the media kind of spins things in a negative light to where it scares people, and then they start paying attention to something else. And so it perpetuates those myths. So that's a very frustrating part of it as well.
Rachel, I just find it so interesting that in the almost half hour that we've been having this discussion, not once have we talked about one of the biggest issues, which are the customers.
Yes. That is, we could do a 5-hour long podcast and still only scratch the surface. But that is, it's a very supply and demand issue. Without the demand for it, there wouldn't be the supply. And so if you look at human trafficking, you know, obviously we have the drug trade, we have the weapons trade. Human trafficking is right now, we have it estimated to be the second most profitable illegal trade out there. Because when you sell drugs, The drugs are gone. You have to get more drugs to sell. A human you can reuse and exploit over and over. And that is just, it's horrifying to put it in those perspectives, but it is. And part of that too is, you know, just look at our culture. It's so fueled with, you know, sex. And especially right now, we have kids that are growing up wanting to be stars on OnlyFans and influencers. And it's just been such a scary shift towards normalizing that. And that is a huge issue as well. But there is that demand for it, which is really disgusting. And the media likes to say, they call them Johns, which I hate that word. They're abusers. They're exploiters. They are disgusting people. But there are those people that want to have sex with people who, you know, minors, or who they're taking advantage of people in a certain situation. And so that's a very important part of it as well. And it's very sad.
So we're not going to be able to get into this too in depth because we have to wrap it up. But speaking of minors, last year, for at least the second time, the Safe Harbor Bill had a little bit more progress in the Wisconsin state legislature, because in Wisconsin, and correct me if I have this wrong, because it breaks my brain.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, you cannot have sex with a minor. They are not able to give consent.
Correct.
But if there is money involved, it's solicitation for the abuser, and it's prostitution.
Yes.
They get convicted. The minor gets prosecuted for prostitution, and yet they're underage. So how are they giving consent to prostitute?
Yes.
And now that we have a new legislature, that progress, I understand, has to start over.
Yes.
And it breaks my brain that people think that this is how you protect young people.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, to put it politely, it's infuriating. It really is, because kids cannot give consent. If you're under the age of 18, you cannot consent to sex. But right now, since we have not passed the Safe Harbor Bill, I think this is, yes, two or three times. It's been like 6 or 7 years. And every time that it gets a little more support, but then it doesn't pass. And I think a huge part of that is just people and our politicians, they don't understand it. Some of them think that we're trying to legalize, you know, child prostitution, which is, you know, the complete opposite of what that is trying to do. And it's very frustrating. But that's part of, you know, what I said before is this is evolving faster than our laws can keep up with, because this is 6, 7 years of trying to something that seems such a no-brainer, and it's a bipartisan issue. How is it not being passed? But yet it hasn't. And yeah, it's sad, because then that you have kids and victims that don't want to report because they're scared. And that's a tactic that the traffickers use. Be like, okay, well, you can go ahead and tell people, but you're going to get arrested. You're going to get in trouble because it's illegal. And that's a very, you know, sad reality. And, you know, in Racine, we work a lot with law enforcement. And so we have, you know, good relationship with that. So we try to, you know, work with that, and we train law enforcement so that they don't, you know, arrest and prosecute. But not every, we can't train everybody. And so it's kind of sometimes based on the discretion of the law enforcement officer or the district attorney's office or whatever. And it's one of those things where it seems like a no-brainer, but yet we have to go back to the beginning.
So in the last minute that we have, what can anyone who's listening right now do to either learn more or support or try to be a little bit more involved in awareness about this?
Yes. Oh, there's a lot. I'll spew a few really quickly. a lot of it, stop watching porn. A lot of porn is very exploitive and people don't realize that. Don't buy anybody for sex, because even if you think somebody is doing it willingly, they could be doing it for a survival mechanism, and that might not be full consent on their part. Be very, you know, aware of your child online and who they're talking to. Be a conscious consumer. I know we didn't really get into labor trafficking because of time, but just, you know, fast fashion. A lot of times if you're, you know, supporting companies that you...
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Pride.
Left corner three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu is expected to introduce a plan this week that would create a 3.5% flat tax. Opponents of the flat tax say it benefits the rich, but the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel reports LeMahieu said he would like to see a portion of the state's $6.6 billion budget surplus used to give everyone a tax cut. The measure will likely be blocked by Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who is promoting a separate plan to cut income taxes by 10% for the middle class. A section of I-94 in Monroe County was closed this morning because of icy conditions causing numerous crashes. State Patrol closed I-94 between State Highway 21 on the north side of Toma and Highway EW at Warrens due to what they called impassable conditions. In sports, Michigan State rallied to beat the Badgers last night 69-65. Tonight, the Bucks are at Atlanta. Marquette hosts UConn. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 36. North winds around 5 miles per hour. 28 tonight, overcast. Cloudy again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 34. Partly cloudy skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 27. 31 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
And I didn't know how well this was going to transition, but having just talked to Rachel Harrison from Fight to End Exploitation about trying to spread awareness about human trafficking, and one of the sentiments being the power of social media as a grooming tool. And that was one of the questions. There, we probably could have had her for an hour. There were so many different ways to take the conversation. But in the overused term of grooming in an inappropriate, and when I say inappropriate, I mean inaccurate way over the last couple of years, there is actual grooming that happens in chat room. Well, I mean, I think it's, I don't even know if it's chat rooms. It was chat rooms like when it was like AOL.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at that, but that was such a.
But you know what I mean? It was like, yeah. it was chat rooms at one point. Oh, and now it's DMs on Instagram. It's DMs on Facebook and servers. Yeah. And so the story that we were going to talk about next, while it's not specific to human trafficking, it is specific to social media in that. You know, I think we've had a lot of conversations around, I mean, because I'm on social media a lot. So I feel like one of the common themes of this show is we talk about what's either happening online, whether it's trending, but also the impact that this has on our mental health. And there's been lots of talk and studies and stuff on mental health, the impact of social media on children's mental health. But now the Seattle School District has filed a 91-page lawsuit against the major social media outlets, which I think is fascinating. And so, Greg, what were your kind of like takeaways as far as first reading this? I have to get the article back up to tell more of the details of it.
My takeaway is I was really split on it.
Interesting.
Because while I am, don't let it be confused here, folks. I'm all about children's rights, advocating for children, their health and safety. But I'm wondering how much can be done with a lawsuit like this, especially in light. I mean, we'll go in the details as far as how they're protected, how the big companies are protected from this sort of liability. But I mean, it the school district, can they do certain things? Can they take the kids' phones and say, like, okay, you kids can have phones, but at the beginning of the day, you got to put them in these bags. We make people put them in for concerts. You'll get them back at the end of the day so you can contact your parents. Mm-hmm. If you need to contact someone during the day, you can go to the office, make a phone call. Like, it's much deeper. It's much more nuanced. But my immediate thing was, what can the schools do right now to keep maybe phones out of their hands? Because beyond school in that area, they're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the kids are looking at their phone at home, if they're looking at their phone with their friends, that's a different discussion. Like how involved are the parents? And I'm not like placing blame, but this seems, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. This seems such more nuanced of a discussion that a 91-page lawsuit against tech companies, I don't know if it will solve the problem because we're talking about mental health here.
Well, and I don't, to a certain extent, so the Seattle Public School alleges that the very design of these platforms, which seek to maximize the amount of time users spend on them, is flawed and dangerous, particularly to kids. And they argue that the longer people stay on social media, the more ads those companies sell, and thus the more money they stand to make. And so there's some of the features, whether it's push notifications, and they're designed to draw users in. And I know this as an adult, right?
Yeah.
This is, and I didn't have social media when I was a teenager. Like I had, as I said, I had my Nokia phone with Snake on it. That was the about the extent that I had.
Wow, brag.
You didn't have
no.
Well, no, because you were old enough that you
Shut
didn't
up.
Have a phone in high school.
We had a cell phone. We had a car phone first.
Was it in a bag?
Shut up. And
I had the same one. I asked that out of relatability.
Okay, I thought you were just calling me old. We had the car phone that went in the car wherever we drove. So the person who was driving got the car phone, and then we had a beeper. Not to bring it down, when my dad got ill, we had a beeper. So in that case, someone happened, we can contact the family member. And then we got a cell phone. What I'm trying to say is it was all for emergencies only. If you dare use it for anything other than emergency only, you will pay a price, mister. Sorry, go on.
This is not, it's like long distance phone calls
collect
used
calls.
To be.
I'm
like,
yeah.
who are you talking to?
Yeah, like,
how
like,
much is this costing
when
me?
When they'd be like, 1-900-COLLECT. I'm like, who's calling collect? I mean, seriously, you got to be dying to call collect.
No, but the trick with collect was you but then when
hi,
it
this
said,
is Greg, going to the hospital.
Come pick me up right now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get picked up. So part of this is the school system says it doesn't have the resources to manage a crisis that is being made worse by social media. And so that's what I don't understand, the legality of this, of what standing they have to pursue this and even what they are looking to get from it. And in reality, I don't know how far this goes because tech companies have
protection
and an enormous legal shield and an army of lawyers.
Yep.
So I don't know where this will go, but I feel like it's interesting that has this happened before as far as an entity trying to sue social media companies. I know that they've testified, the companies have testified in front of Congress as far as we all know those viral moments of, do you promise to regulate Finsta? Sir, Finsta is not a product. It is a colloquial term for people who have a fake Instagram account, but he just could not wrap his head around.
Oh God, our leaders are so dumb sometimes.
And so I know that there's more opportunity for lawmakers to try to regulate big tech, but I just don't understand how this lawsuit would work beyond the fact that we're talking about it right now.
I think that, okay, so I have two points of thing. Like, one, there's the side of me that just says, I don't think anyone sued all the tech companies like in this type of fashion. I don't think it's going to go very far. I think, like you said, they have a bunch of lawyers. They actually have written law and protections within the U.S. codes to take care of that. But also, the other side of me says, all right, this could start the conversation. And going back with what I was talking about with Rachel when I asked her the question, which is, yeah, you're going after TikTok about Chinese communist influence, but we're looking at a piece of legal documentation here that's saying we believe that these companies are harmful towards children. What are you going to do about it now? Will you do something about that? Will you take some of the protections away? Will you suggest legislation that will protect children more? That's my whole thing, is that we say we care about the kids, and now we have some documentation from schools, from counselors, from all sorts of experts who work with children saying, we believe this is a problem. What can our lawmakers do then to say, we're hearing you, we got you, let's try something? And you know, we'll still go after TikTok for being Chinese and bad and scary. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't think it has much standing, honestly.
I don't think it has much standing either.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to think, is there any amount of pressure or lawsuits that could change the internal practices of these big tech companies?
I think they'll just get around it. Because in the interview, in the story, they interviewed representatives from most of these companies, and they're like, we have them in place, we're taking care of it. They're just going to always say the same thing. They're just going to keep saying, I'm right on top of that, Rose. And then they'll think they have something, and they'll,
because what do you actually do? You, like, in their control, do you just have an age limit? And like, but that you can obviously get around. We talked about last week in Louisiana, you now have to, speaking because of
that. Yeah, I saw this one.
Yeah, at Louisiana, you have to put your ID in order to access porn sites now.
Which, sorry, but it made me think of the voter ID thing, where it's like, what, if people who don't have a driver's license, how can they vote? If I don't have a driver's license in Louisiana, I can't look at porn. That's un-American. Come on!
All right. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
But like, so let's say a pie in the sky type of idea. Let's say,
like, what would actually protect children from the darker sides of social media?
From the darker sides of social media, and they're speaking, if we're taking like the cyberbullying out of it, because they did mention cyberbullying, but I feel like it was more about the ads and what kids are seeing as far as accounts. If you register as one of those users as a child, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, whatever, how much money would they lose if all underage accounts, now granted, I understand that kids can get away from that, they can whatever, if they register with their parents as an underage account, there are no ads. You just, you know what I mean? Like, how much money would
all sign up for that? And then we would never have to see these ads.
But then if you want to look at naughty accounts, you have to put in your driver's license. Yeah, you're right. I would sign up as, oh, that
I
sounds
like this topic,
dirty.
Though.
That
so sounds if you, dirty. If you're listening right now, 844-967-2789, text or call 844-967-2789. What
party
idea do you have that could make social media safer for kids? That's realistic.
Yeah, don't say take them all away.
Yes. And I think there's some side, there's arguments as far as the parents' role. And I know that there's more and more people who are, you know, bribing basically their kids to stay off social media until they are 18, or they only get their kid a flip phone instead of a smartphone. And there's ways that on the parent side and even school side, as you said, the responsibility of schools, like you can't have your phone in school. But as far as on the social media company side, what could they be doing if they were being earnest about it and they were saying, we are actually trying to solve this, what do you think would actually curb the problem?
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. Of underage accounts don't have ads. It doesn't really help with cyberbullying. It doesn't help with the comparison of what is real life versus online life and
predators.
And it doesn't help with predators being able to target kids. Unless you just have a completely different profile of how, you know, that those accounts exist on the platform, if you say, and you have to self, but you still have to self-report, right? As far as I am underage.
Yeah. Well, and that's, that comes to more of a conversation with your parents when, like, I'm thinking about the kids who are, like, getting their phones when they're 10, 11. I mean, some kids, I know, get them when they're younger, but I'm thinking about, like, kids between the ages of, like, 10 and 15. They're in that middle school, high school range. They're getting new privileges from their parents. All right, I want a Facebook account. Well, no 12-year-old wants a Facebook account.
That's true.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that, kids.
I looked at my analytics the other day. I looked at my analytics across different platforms the other day.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, like, my biggest age range of people who watch and listen and are, like, subscribed to the Facebook page is, like, 35 to 45, which is, like, the age I am, so that makes sense. And then the next one is, like, 55, whatever. But, like, the 14 to 25 is so small. And I'm like, is that because of my content or just because they're not on Facebook anymore?
I think it's
because
they're not on Facebook. They're not politically engaged as much as older people are. And also, you're just not dancing enough, kiddo.
Clearly not.
Tall potatoes. You got to put those gams out there. But do the shaky leg thing. I don't know what they call it. But, you know. But, yeah,
I'm no Charlie D'Amelio. That is correct.
What is that now?
You don't even know who that is.
No.
I just think of going back to whose responsibility is it and how can we can make it safer? It's going to go back to the parents.
Yeah,
it is.
And I think the thing is, go ahead.
I can't tell you the number of times when I see the parents on their phones ignoring their children who are trying to get their attention.
Oh, I mean, the downtimes I've gone to restaurants where you see three, four people in a family at that table just on their phones.
All on their phones.
And live your life. It's your decision. It's freedom, whatever, America, you rah-rah, CMH. I don't know. The point is that, like, it also is like, don't you ever want to talk to your family? Why even bother? Just order out and go to your room. I don't know. It seems like such a waste of time and money to go out to a restaurant if you're not even going to talk and engage. But that kind of then ties in a little bit to what we were talking about with regard to the UWM conservative-led symposium at the Great Wolf in the White Wolf Room. You know, we're trying to engage parents, but I feel like those groups are trying to engage parents to get angry and fearful and whip up fake outrage, and that influences votes. But I feel like what if we came together with a plan for kids, like the teachers and the parents, and said we want to, like, protect kids. I know it's tough. It's hundreds of millions of people involved in this plan, but, like, there has to be an equal engagement between teachers and students and parents and taking responsibility.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to keep talking about this through the break. So if you have thoughts, 844-967-2789. Specifically, I'm more interested because I think we talk about what's the role of parents and schools and the people who are in the lives of kids and putting controls on social media. But what is the responsibility of these companies, and what could actually work as far as limitations on these accounts, on these platforms that could work? 844-967-2789. Give us your thoughts. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Join me in saving lives. Every year, about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon in the U.S. What is radon? It's an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas that can cause lung cancer. Radon comes from the natural breakdown of uranium in the soil, enters homes through small cracks and openings, and builds up inside. Any home can have radon. New homes, old homes, apartments, drafty homes, well-sealed homes, homes with and without basements. About 1 in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Testing is the only way to know. Testing for radon is an easy and low-cost way to save a life, many lives. For more information, call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org. Test, fix, save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Brookfield's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I'm stuck inside, can't see the light. And my heaven is a nice house in the sky. Got central heating, and I'm alright.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here. Jay Manier is on the board, and we are taking your suggestions at 844-967-2789 on what you think big tech companies could actually do to protect kids who are using their platforms. I'm not sure we've cracked it yet.
First, they got to care about kids, and I'm not convinced.
Yeah, that is fair.
Kids over profits.
Yeah.
Because is there an argument to just not allow kids on, like, as a platform, like, you cannot be under 18 and use this? I think that would never happen.
I don't think
that
would ever happen. I don't think it needs to be
that draconian.
I don't think, you know, honestly, I'm surprised there aren't some lawmakers who haven't tried to do that already. Maybe there are. They just never got a committee. But the point is like, I think there are ways of doing it, but it's going to eat into their bottom line. Therefore, they don't have to do it because they're protected and they can just send out a press release saying, we believe in the utmost, the highest quality of services while also protecting our children and making sure that they don't. They don't. They don't need to. They don't need
to. And it's so funny because I feel like on the bigger entity, like individually, if you talk to people who work at these companies, they say they would.
Yeah.
Right. But as far as what their incentives are, what they're measured on, what the company is measured on, it just doesn't, that value or that emotion or that feeling does not get baked into what they get paid to do.
Yeah. It's a profit company. It's a profit-driven company. It's got shareholders and all those other things. And, you know, I mean, it's not in their bottom line best interest as a company to take the consideration.
To limit who can be on there.
Well, not even to limit who can be on there, but also just, I mean, let's not, like, yes, we're talking about children, but let's not forget the fact that there are hundreds of millions of adults on there who are also being affected mentally by the ads and the accounts they see too. I mean, I'm not trying to take away from how it affects children. It also affects adults. And they don't care either way. They do not have to care. And the problem is like, there are things happening every day. Rachel talked about it. There are things happening every day through their pipeline from buyer to customer to all those things that are affecting people, and still nothing's being done.
It's interesting. We started the Bernie Madoff docuseries last night on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's also a reminder. I mean, one, that it sounds like he was a fraud from the beginning, which is wild. Yeah. And two, how heavily regulated finance is and Wall Street is, mm-hmm. as far as the entire departments that are dedicated to, like, you have to register, you have to do all this stuff to be able to, like, because you're in charge of people's, you are in charge of people's money, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's wild to think, because that didn't always exist, right? Like, that was over time. these regulations and these departments and the things that were there to protect people. They were trying to invest money from people who could take advantage of people developed, right? And it's interesting to think in a world 30, 40, maybe not even that long, where big tech, which is so unregulated right now, but is so profitable and is so, I mean, way more people are on social media than investing in the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the potential for regulatory systems to be set up for these things, like, is there ever going to be a world where that happens?
I think in order for that to happen, the people who are in charge of making the laws have to become smarter than they are as a whole.
Or younger.
Yeah. I don't think everybody who serves in Washington or at state level is dumb, but I think, once again, going back to what Rachel said, when you explain legislation, explain ideas, instead of being like, oh, yeah, we're trying to protect kids. Oh, we're trying to protect people. They go to the other side and go, well, are you trying to legalize prostitution? That's not what we said at all. Mm-hmm. So they don't go for it. So we either have to have younger and or smarter people in Washington to listen to these ideas and put forth legislation that does regulate these huge companies. I mean, there's nothing new. I mean, you get out of finance or out of big tech, there's other major companies that are regulated. This is not new. We can regulate the big tech companies. It will barely affect their bottom line, in my opinion, I think. And if it does, it's going to be a couple tens of millions? Oh, no. Oh no, you only make $100 billion this year. Oh no.
It's like Elon losing $200 billion and still being the second richest person in the world.
Nothing makes me happier than when that man is looking stupid.
Get another verse to that?
Second verse, same as the first. I totally off topic. I'll make it very, very quick. I watched The Big Bang Theory from start to finish. 12 seasons. Wow, that's a lot.
How many episodes is that?
That's 200 and some odd. 240?
I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, it's so fun. You just dive into it. It's they're 18-minute episodes a piece. It's fun.
Is that all a sitcom is? I thought it was 22 minutes.
It's 22, but I think it's, for them, it's like between 18 and 19 because they have like 24 episodes per season instead of 22. So I think that's the difference. That was my theory, but I am not a scientist.
It's like a long sketch. It's not even that long.
Sometimes they're too long, but but like Elon Musk, there's a lot of great cameos on that show.
Musk was on that show?
He was on that show in an episode where they were like helping at a food kitchen, and he walks in, and one of the people on the show is complaining about it, and he walks in saying like, isn't this great what we're doing? We're helping people. And I'm like, where is that Elon Musk? He's just so nice and kind. That Elon Musk would be beaten to death by new Elon Musk. He'd be put into a cyber truck and sent off of a mountain. I have so many opinions on Elon Musk. I could talk about him for days.
Elon doesn't need to put him in a truck. He just needs to put him in a Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's the Tesla stock doing? Is that rebounded yet?
Well, there was just another crash in San Francisco with a self-driving Tesla that stopped on the freeway and caused an 8-car pileup.
It's up today, 3.42%.
In the middle of all that rain. Did the rain make it stop? That is wild. This is totally off topic. But what is wild to me is the unbelievable storms that California is getting, and yet it's not making a dent in their drought. That is, wrapping your head around that, as far as it's, you know, partially because the reservoirs can't hold this amount of rain, so it's just going back to the ocean, so it's not like they can even store the amount of water to be able to help mitigate how bad the drought is. And I've just been checking with my friends that live there. I was like, you okay, dude? Because it looks
it's
horrendous.
Apocalyptic.
Yes.
It really absolutely is. I did see something that said, though, that this same storm system is dropping a lot of snow in the mountains. So when the spring thaw comes, some of those reservoirs might actually get filled.
To have And I'm sure people who are going to Mammoth are very happy. Skiers and snowboarders.
I know what that means. Mammoth?
It's a mountain.
I didn't.
People ski there.
What's skiing?
God, okay. We're taking another break. When we come back, we're going to do some fun things with the Golden Globes. We're going to play some speeches that we liked. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.